I am all in.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, everybody. Hey, it's Scott Patterson, and this is the I Am All In podcast from iHeartRadio and 111 Productions. And that was what a finale.
Wow.
That's it. Season one over. How did we get there so fast? I know, right? And wasn't Scout fantastic as a 9-year-old actress? Good gosh, she was.
That was cute. That was her first appearance.
She was. It was really cute. It was really cute. Riley's got something for us. The rundown, maybe, huh?
This is episode 21, Love, Daisies, and Troubadours, air date May 10th, 2001. Lorelai and Max send sparks flying as they reestablish their relationship, while Luke and Rachel find their flame fizzling out. Rory finally has the first conversation with Dean since their breakup.
That was a lot of alliteration there for Riley. Flying.
Anxious anchors.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
Anxious anchors placed in powerful posts. What's that from? What's
Peter
that reference
Piper
from?
Picked a
nice. Listen, good Riley's job, Riley. A superstar now. You know, she's churning it out.
Oh, you wait. Later
we're
in the
getting
show,
some mail.
We have a little treat for you.
Oh, we do. Do you have a little treat for me? Oh, yeah. is it really a treat or is it a bombshell? What are you going to do? You going to lay an egg on me? What's happening?
You'll see.
Riley, are you enjoying your superstar status now? I mean, you're like famous now. What's going on?
I think about it late at night when I'm trying to fall asleep. But, you know, I'm really enjoying it, and it's a thrill. It's exhilarating.
Could you say it in a French accent?
It's thrill. It's exhilarating.
That's Russian.
Oh, my God. Okay. We have to focus. So much to talk about.
I want to talk about this. It's great. I love your superstardom. So you're getting stopped in the street now. You're giving autographs. You're getting tables at McDonald's again. What's going on? What's happening?
I am, but only when I'm near a trash can. People ask me to say that line. Don't bring up my kid. Go away.
So here we are. End of season one. Episode 21. Season one. We only did 21 episodes, I guess. I guess that's not the usual 22 that we did. But
how do you feel?
That's why it's 150. It's 153 episodes instead of 154. I always thought it was 154. It feels like it's just flown by. It really has. Not to be cliche, but it's like, we're already done season one.
What would be your like overall take on season one? I mean, we'll break down this specific episode, but what's your, you know, this is your first time really seeing season one. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I just think it has laid the groundwork. Here, I'm going to adjust the screen a little bit. It's laid the groundwork for, I assume, what is to come far more deep and even if it's possible, more intriguing narratives and storylines and scenes to be displayed before us. I mean, it's, I got to tell you, look, this final episode, there was a lot that rubbed me the wrong way.
Really? No way. I'm so interested to hear because I loved every minute of it. Tell me.
You
give
did?
Me a little right now.
Oh, God. It's just like I'm back in the Max Medina thing where it's just like, ugh, ugh. And it's just their banter and all that. I mean, I'm almost glad to see, here's what I want to say. I thought the breakup with Rachel leaving was a little clumsy.
Yeah.
I mean, there could have been more of a conversation.
Agree.
I mean, if it was so deep and meaningful to Luke, and it was so deep and meaningful to Rachel to even come back. You know, I'm thinking, gosh, this is, again, here we are missing a scene. Here's some character development that we're missing. And it was just like, he walks in the diner and he's been hammering away at Lorelai's place, you know, fixing her roof, fixing her porch and all that stuff, railings. And then she's got her bags packed and see you, Luke, bye. And it's a couple minutes and like, wait, don't, you know, it's like.
I agree that it was very quick. It was like, whoa, yeah. It was like somebody had to get her out of there real quick. Like we've only got 3 minutes for this breakup. Hit the road, girl.
All right.
I don't know because you are, you know, Luke is so prominent in this episode.
But is the audience as a whole, after year one, is really that invested in Luke to warrant the writers to have the writers to justify a whole scene with Rachel sort of getting, you know, really getting into the emotional life of what they had been putting each other through. You know what I mean? It kind of needed that.
Yeah, because I feel like my gut, and you'll know better than I, but was that there's so much in that episode that was literally the amount of time they had to get rid of her, because the scene with you and Max to me was so much more important. Like the verbal sparring and like round one, here we go. And it was like, I loved that scene so much.
Yeah.
I actually forgot that Rachel was gone. I almost didn't care. I was like, this is where I need to be.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they didn't write that scene for us to do. 'Cause maybe they felt people didn't care that much about the Luke and Rachel thing. And let's just get her going.
The important part of the scene with Rachel, and you correct me if I'm wrong, was not the breakup with Rachel, was that she's calling you out about Lorelai. Like, yeah, there is a girl that came between us.
Yeah. Maybe it didn't need a whole scene. Maybe it was just so obvious.
Maybe. Right? I mean, I could have watched more of the breakup for sure, but what I needed, I definitely got, which was her.
Right. Right.
And she was right.
She wasn't wrong. She nailed me right between the eyes and I was speechless, right? She nailed me.
She doesn't have any emotion with the breakup, which is maybe why it felt so abrupt too. She just is like, I put the dishes away, I put the coffee away, diner's closed, here's my bags, peace out, dude. Like, what?
Well, I think she was kicking herself. She had enough time while I was away repairing Lorelai's house to realize and to kick herself and to feel any tinge of regret that she'd blown it. She, you know, her moment had passed and she'd left me too many times before. The trust was gone. Obviously I'm with another gal in my heart. Yeah. So there you go. You know, the opportunity, let me tell you, is not a lengthy visitor.
No. See that in this episode too, because it's like, it wasn't as painful for me that Luke isn't with Lorelai. It's more now like, really? Come on. Because she.
Yeah, you want him to get to it. But listen, Max sends 1,000 daisies. And what are you going to do? How do you compete
now,
with
that's
that?
That's a pretty iconic Gilmore image. So were you familiar with it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is a very iconic image. And was Lorelai giving Luke a daisy at the diner? Being, you know, a little I mean, what was that?
I don't know.
It was like, here, take that and go bury yourself.
It was weird. She's like, everyone gets a daisy. I didn't remember that from like.
But I'm not just everyone. I'm the guy. I'm in love with you.
That was a little.
And you're in love with me. How are you giving me a daisy? Mm.
You know, everybody listening had some excellent theories on why the coffee tasted different.
Oh, there was one I read about Rachel making the coffee.
But that's why it tasted.
Maybe Rachel was making the coffee and I did. Would Luke do that? Would he get that loose with his protocols there?
They had some brilliant theories. So I'd love to hear what they think the meaning of the daisy to Luke was. Because it was not necessary. So they obviously wrote it in for a reason.
I'm going to taste my coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always great.
Scott's drinking his coffee right now.
I've been cutting my fingers. I got slashed open the last night. I don't know what the heck's going
on. Wait, you slash your finger on coffee or just no?
No. My son is becoming a ninja.
Oh, you were sparring actually, not just like a Max Medina verbal sparring.
He's 7 years old. He's fierce. You wouldn't believe it. He's watching Shaolin Monks.
Has he ever watched Gilmore Girls?
And I'm like, no. He is not aware. He's seen little clips. I think my wife has shown him and he goes, oh, is that daddy?
That's going to be pretty cool when he sees it.
I know. He doesn't know.
Yeah, a couple
what
more years,
for.
Like 10, 12 feels like. Yeah. Anyway. I'm really interested to see what people felt about that daisy move. 'Cause it was weird.
It was weird. It almost bordered on disrespect. I don't know. I mean, was she so out of her head and and swept up in the moment that she just forgot.
They were out of their head.
It's just erased.
That running, when they're running, Rory and Lorelai are running towards each other because they're finally like so happy. That was quite a kiss, by the way, with the truck with Dean and Rory. That was.
Yeah, he basically ate her head. See, I mean, what? Like, dude, go for it in the parking lot of the private school. Just devour her face.
Was it creepy for you? Because I was kind of like, yeah, good. All right.
I mean, it was like, go get him, Chicago boy. Yeah, you know, but it's like, hey, wait a minute. That's Rory Gilmore there. You better, let's have a little more. I mean, I guess obviously he was directed to display some real passion.
Yeah.
And he did. He took the direction and he proceeded to eat her entire face.
And Chad Michael Murray played that scene so well, too. You know, because he was sad, devastated, disappointed.
God, he's flailing, isn't he? That poor guy just flailing, just doesn't know what to do. He's like out of moves. He tries the old school stuff. It doesn't work. Like, get out of here. I would never. I'll take your books. I mean, he's desperate.
You know, poor Rory too, because the girls are being so mean to her when she doesn't even want to go to the PJ Harvey concert. It's just like Tristan's always getting Rory into a mess.
But how about that song? How about that song, that PJ Harvey song that came on? One line is the name of the song that came on when he starts eating her head.
Oh my God, right?
And it was just like, wow. I listened to that song 5 times last night.
I thought the truck was weirdly placed. Like, why is the truck so close to the school? That was like,
that's a little weird. Pulled right up. You know, it's like, where's security? This guy, you know, he could have a bomb on him.
Out. You think a teacher would be like, excuse me, you two. Like, you don't do that on campus at Chilton.
That's $1 billion worth of kids in there, man. You got to protect them. You can't just let, you know, Dean.
That was definitely shot for like, so we could get everything in the shop.
Right, exactly. He pulled up in the truck, the interface
was that
off,
an approved
and nobody,
parking
no, security
spot
wasn't
for a
called.
Student? I don't think so. Oh, weird. I was like, oh my God, there's so much.
I thought there would be some reaction when she said, listen, you dope. Because you idiot, I love you. I thought the school would stop and turn around and go like the scratch on the record.
Well, and only Tristan is watching. I kept looking at the other kids and they're just like, hum, dum, dum, like whatever.
Yeah.
We're not noticing this truck that's like parked in our classroom and these two mates.
Who's this odd guy? This poorly clothed odd guy with his
real
Jeep.
Life, there is no way that every student wouldn't be like, what?
Right.
Staring at that.
It's not a BMW. It's not a Mercedes. It's not a Rolls.
And
who's the freak?
High schoolers.
Right? And the leather jacket, by the way.
Making out. Come on. Everyone's staring. There is.
Look at it. It's right before you. Like, what's Rory doing?
Man, please. They got back together, though. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I think as long as Rory's happy, I'm happy. She was ecstatic. And she. You know, we had to get through another, and listen, I'm going to take some heat for this, but you know, we had to get through a couple more Lane and Rory scenes.
You know, are you not loving that?
And I'm not. It's just, but I understand the role, the functionality of the character, and why those scenes need to be there. And
they feel
just,
better to me because I know.
Here we go. They're getting predictable and repetitive for me. You know.
This is what girls do. We talk about the same thing over and over and over again. And I don't want to be like women and men don't do that. They don't want to talk about the same topic and girls do it.
Oh, that's okay. That's
really?
Not true. That is not true. That's not true. But no. It's like that guy that does that. That's the crazy guy. That you want to get away from. I had an experience with a guy like that at one time in my life, and I had to end the friendship because I didn't want to hear about her anymore. After
constantly about some girl,
dude, it was unbelievable. No, he was. Look, we were friends. He was dating a girl. They were together. They lived together, and then you know he got. I don't know. They broke up. And she took up with a younger guy.
Juicy.
And she did it pretty quick. And he stalked him and he was freaking out. And he was telling me about it. And he told me about the stalking. And I said, God, you can't do that. You got to stop doing that.
I find the Lane Rory scenes very enjoyable, pleasant, but I can understand where you're like, this is redundant. Move it along, you two. Enough of the banter. To me, I like it.
It's too, you know what it is to me? You know what bothers me a little bit about it? It doesn't bother me a lot. I love Keiko and I love the character and all that, but it's also Rory centric and what's happening with Rory. And I'm here and I'm your supporting friend and I'm subservient all the time. And we're going to talk about your stuff every time we're together. And there's like, there's nothing coming back for her. And it's just, so it's like, here
we
go.
And we do know, those of us that have seen it many a time, that does change, but very fair comment. Up till now. Yeah.
Good.
Especially of late, because Lane's been helping through the Dean thing. You know, I thought it was big when we learned that Rory's going to go in the into Dosey's market. And you're like, huh, what's going to happen? So it's like we need Lane to help with these sort of pivotal moments. But
no, there's, of course. So, and she deserves a gold medal for friendship, for being there, you know, 24/7 for, and just like, getting whipped around, getting dumped as a friend, and you're studying with them. And like,
Lane
dare
is likable. So
Yeah. No, absolutely. But it's like, another, here we go.
And we will take a break.
With Rory.
Scout Taylor Compton is here.
She's here. So we're going to talk to Scout when we come back. We'll be right back after these words. All right, everybody. We're going to bring in another very special guest. Her name is Scout Taylor Compton. She played Dean's sister in a couple episodes. We're going to bring her and talk to her. There she is. How are you, Scout? Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Long time no see, man.
You know what? How old were you when you were on the show?
Oh, God. When I first started, I think I was like 9 or 10.
Oh, my goodness. Really? Oh my
God. Yeah. I know me, like now that I deal with like kids that are grown up, it just makes me feel so old.
Oh my God. Like, you just made me feel really ancient in a good way.
So funny.
So let's get into this. I mean, well, people know who you are. We're going to do an intro a little bit later because there's so much to talk about with you, with the resume that you have built up. But, let's just get right into it. So you had the guest roles on ER Frasier at a very young age. Okay. So
yeah.
How did you get the role of Clara on Gilmore Girls? Tell us about that.
I mean, the typical audition process. I went in and saw Amy and a couple of the other producers and, you know, we just had to cry. That was it. We just had to come in and cry.
Okay.
And I pretty much got it like really fast. I remember I auditioned and I think I heard the same day. But I think I was the oldest one there. They were a lot of like younger kids. So I just figured, I was like, I'm probably not going to get it. Right. They're going to go to someone a little bit younger. But then when I got it, I was like so stoked. It was such an exciting thing for me to do.
What season was it when you got it? Was it the first season?
It was the first season.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was already out there and it was a hit and people knew about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody was talking about it. My mom loved it. Right. Like, you know, all my family loved it, knew about it. So they wanted me to get it for sure.
So you were Dean's little sister and Clara. And what was it like to play a little sister figure? Do you have other siblings in real life?
So I was raised as an only kid. So this just didn't, this whole thing didn't, you know, occur to me like, oh, that's annoying little sister. Your siblings don't like each other. You fight all the time. But I definitely got that sense. Cause I feel like I was like, so, I looked up to Jared and I just was like, wanted to hang out with him all the time. And I was like, I think every time I saw, especially the guys, I was just like, I wanted to like hang out with you guys.
Did we hang out? Did we hang out on set?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, you don't remember? Do you remember?
You and your mom?
Well, my mom was super shy. So she never really hung around. So it's like me and the school teacher kind of thing.
Right. No, I do. I remember that now.
Yeah. I remember I had, I don't know what they're called, but you would like flick the stick. It was like you'd have to like balance a stick in between two and you'd like could flip them in the air and all this stuff. And I remember it wasn't the first season. I think it was like the third where it was like, I just remember the horses were on set. It was like this big, like huge scene. And I remember you and I were playing in front of Lorelai's house and they had fake snow everywhere. Right. And I remember you could like toss it really high. Huh. And I was so envious.
Wow.
Memories.
What memories? So how would you describe the character of Clara?
You know, I feel like Clara came in just to kind of like add some spice to annoy any sort of character. I went from Rory, then I went to Lorelai, and then I went to Dean, and then I went to, you know, Jess. So it's just like Clara was like that person that everyone was just like, get off of me.
Uh-huh.
Go away.
So the first time we see is when you answer the door for Rory. Do you remember about that first day on set? What was that like?
Yeah, so I remember coming on set and you know, showing up to Warner Brothers is all there, and like that whole community was like formed in front of your eyes, and it was the first time, you know, my little eyes had ever seen something like that. So I was very excited about that. But I mean, working, you know, alongside, you know, Lexa, she was awesome and she was so sweet to work with. I remember the one thing I remember about her is that she would always like be in her little chair, and then she'd always be reading something. She's always reading a book, and I remember that. But yeah, it was such a nice scene to film. I just had to cry.
Right. Were you nervous that first day? Were you a little nervous?
Really nervous. But I mean, everybody was so welcoming on that set. I think that was what's so great about, you know, the Gilmore Girls set is everyone was so cool, man.
Yeah, we all got along. We all I think we shared this struggle to get all the lines right at that speed. So we were kind of all in the same boat, you know. It's like, are we going to we'll get through this. We'll get through this day.
Yeah.
We'll do
it. I bet there's so many bloopers of you guys just like
No, not a lot. We didn't screw up the lines very much. No.
Oh, good for you guys.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Like, oh god.
Yeah, there's quite a blooper reel. You know, we got that church laughter many, many times. I wish and hope they have those bloopers, because those are the funniest ones where you can't do it anymore. And in the most serious moments at 3 a.m. or 2 a.m., you break down. Your mind breaks down and you just start laughing and everybody starts laughing and you cannot recover.
I'm so curious, because the speed is such like an iconic thing to the show. Was that something that you kind of like picked up on, or?
No, that was the one note we got from every single director was faster.
Faster.
Yeah, it was always faster. Yeah, it didn't matter how fast you thought you did it. That was the note.
Yeah.
So tell us about. Okay, here's a fan question. This is from Iris from Houston. She wants to know, what is your favorite memory of your experience on Gilmore Girls? Your overall favorite memory.
I think probably all the memories that I think no one else remembers. I was like a little kid. I playing with you. And then I remember Sean Gunn. I was making him do cartwheels one time with me. And I think Dean joined in on that too. I think like just getting everybody, because I was just such a bubbly kid. And I was just like trying to get everybody to play with me constantly. Right. And everyone did. I have like the all those memories. I remember Sean and I, it like clicked. We just did a con together not too long ago. And I knew that I had someone playing with me, like doing car rolls and stuff like that, but I don't remember who it was. And then when I saw Sean, we put two together of Gilmore Girls that we both were on the show together in the same episodes. And we did, you know, and I was like, oh my God, you were the one who I was playing with. And he's like, oh my God, that was you. It was like this aha moment, like old person brain, just like remembering all these memories.
Right.
Yeah, I think that.
Well, what was it like working with Jared? Did you guys click right away?
Yeah, we did. Jared's such a special human. He really is. Yeah. He made me feel like I was actually like his sister, you know. He made me feel like very welcomed, and he knows how to, you know, he knew how to work with younger people. I almost worked on Supernatural with him, which would have been a really cool reunion. but that didn't happen. But yeah, he was such a good guy to work with, mm-hmm. really.
Good.
As much as I'd like to say I was team, I was probably team Jess because I had a big crush on Milo at the time.
Oh, you were the one. Oh, because I couldn't figure out who it was because nobody really yeah. likes him.
Yeah. That was me.
Because that was you. Okay, now we know.
It's funny. What were you? What team were you? I'm sure you've said it so many times.
Well, I was always Jess, and then I said team. When Jared came out with this campaign, because he suffers from a little depression, and he was helping mm-hmm. other people that suffered from depression. When he came out mm-hmm. with that, you know, that very thoughtful and very effective campaign to help other people, then I sort of became, in 2015, at ATX, I said I was team Jess. I mean, team Dean, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Because I just wanted him to feel a little better that, you know, he had my support, not that it really mattered to him at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, so
in FYI, I was always team Luke, so.
There you go.
I was always rooting for that.
And I was always team Clara too. I was always like, you know, that's the best sister you can have. There you go.
I love it.
Oh, you were in that town meeting this first episode.
Yeah, the first episode. Oh, good God. I was in a town meeting.
And were you there all day and all night? Yeah, it was terrible, right?
Well, that was one of the days that we were doing the cartwheels because I was so bored out of my
yes.
mind.
Thank God you were there. That was probably the one day we enjoyed. You know, doing the town meetings. Not to complain, but it was like hot in there.
It was
there.
Neat. It was all yeah. God, it was always hot.
Yeah.
Why was it? Because everybody.
It's a tent.
Like,
you're inside a tent.
Yeah. Did they have? They had like a couple of fans.
Couple.
I do remember.
They did their best.
Only a couple.
They did their best. Those huge yellow tubes. Yeah.
We'd all have to pile out.
Oh God.
Pile back in. Yeah.
It's August. It's 110. You're in winter clothing. You're sweating your brains out. You know. Yeah. It's still compared to what people do for jobs. It was a cakewalk. You know what I mean?
I never talked in a town meeting.
You
I never
didn't?
Did.
No.
I just mine were just reactions, just reacting to everybody what they were saying.
Wow. 9 years old on a set like that all day. And you really wanted to do that since you were, you know, even younger than 9 years old. It's like, how did you fall in love with acting?
Well, I was such a bubbly, talkative, like, kid. And my dad's a coroner and he was a mortician. So I grew up in that world and I didn't really have a lot of friends. So, like, nobody wanted to come over to my house. I don't know why. But so I did. I got you with that one. You didn't know that.
I didn't know that. That's really funny. Let's move on to another fan question. This is from Joanne in Little Rock. She wants to know, she actually wants to know what you think about the way Max Medina proposed to Lorelai. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, in that episode.
Yeah.
Well, my thing was I was pissed because you had just left the house and that altercation between you guys. And then you left your toolbox just to kind of like leave your stamp at the house. So obviously like my heart was like, no, don't say it. Don't say it. But I thought it was really good.
Oh, you did.
It was beautiful. Like, I mean, any girl to show up at their workplace and it was covered in beautiful yellow flowers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was like, Luke, come on. Like, step up your game here. Come on.
Yeah, he's got the hair. He's got the flower thing. He's got a lot going
yeah,
on.
But he didn't have the edge.
There you
you
go.
Know what I'm saying? You get bored of that real quick. It's like the bad boy, good boy for syndrome, you know?
Yeah, you got to have both, I guess. There's more fighting, but the relationships last longer.
Yeah, because you're on a roller coaster ride.
There you go. All right. So Margaret from New York City has a question. Do you think it was wise of Rachel to leave after seeing how Luke was towards Lorelai?
Okay. Well, let's put it down here, girl. Okay, real quick. If my guy was spending the majority of his time with another woman, whether he's like working on her house or whatever, and not spending any time with me, come on, man. Like, you know, yeah. something's up.
Yeah, it's bad. You know? It doesn't look good.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. And I think that's a big thing for a woman to be like, hey, I love you, but I'm gonna step aside because I can tell that something's brewing here. You know?
I didn't trust her. Luke didn't trust her anymore.
Yeah.
I think Luke had moved on.
Yeah.
As he fell deeper in love with Lorelai, because clearly he's obsessed with Lorelai from the first episode, and he's pining for her. And then this people in the town talk about Rachel. Lorelai, didn't you know about Rachel? She looked like a supermodel. He was so in love. He was so devastated. Doesn't mean he's devastated now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now that she's back, and it's like, I think Lorelai is misinterpreting his feelings toward Rachel. And I think it's just sort of a knee-jerk kind of a thing where he feels obligated to maybe give it another chance, but his heart isn't into it with Rachel because he's thinking about Lorelai. And that was doomed to fail. She'd burned him too many times, too much scar tissue, wasn't going to do it. It's like somebody else moved in, babe. There's this other girl. She's spectacular. And she's not going to leave me.
Yeah.
I trust
her. Well, that's kind of like the thing too, is like you comfortable with, even though you realize that you're not in it anymore. You don't know how to like let go of that thing that you're just like, not good for you. It's over. It ended. Trust me, in my past, it's taken me a long time, way longer to like leave a relationship that I know is like not when I'm checked out, just because it's comfortable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what happens.
Little thing called life.
Little thing called life, right? It gets in the way sometimes. Sure. Yeah. You want to do a little rapid fire?
Sure.
We haven't done rapid fire in a couple of weeks, but we're going to do it with you.
Okay, what is that?
Well, you're going to have to answer these questions very rapidly.
Okay.
Ready? I'm just going to fire them at you. All right, here we go. How do you take your coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
You can smell. Can you smell snow?
No.
Can you? We already know the answer to this. Are you team Logan, team Jess, or Dean?
Team Jess on the weekends, team Logan on the weekday.
Who's the daddy like anybody really cares?
Who's the daddy like anybody really cares?
I put that version in.
Oh.
Who's the daddy?
Dean.
Okay. There you go. Best memory of Gilmore Girls. You already answered that, but go ahead.
Yes. Another one.
Flips. Doing cartwheels with Sean and me. And no doing wood games with me. One word to describe Gilmore Girls.
Fast.
Are you familiar with Creepy Clown Pillow?
No.
Okay, good. Either was I, and I don't want to talk about it.
What is that? Is that a part of Gilmore Girls?
It's a pillow that appears in Lorelai's living room in every single episode, and we're tasked to find it in every single episode.
I wonder who has that pillow is the real question.
I don't know, but whoever does, I mean, they're in for big dollars at the next Gilmore auction. I'll tell you that. I want to talk about your other, you're a singer.
Yeah, I dabbled.
You dabbled?
Dabbled in that. Well, I'm mostly a drummer. I played drums.
Really?
You played instrument? Were you starting a band?
I've had many bands, like guitar and piano, but mostly guitar, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's rad. I did this movie called The Runaways. Do you know that band?
Sure.
Yeah.
God, yeah.
And I'm a drummer. Like everything has to be moving, but really? I played Lita Ford. So I had to learn guitar. And my little hands don't really do guitar very well over here. that was definitely really, really hard, but that was really cool.
How good a drummer are you? I mean, rate yourself. Are you top notch?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
Really?
I mean, I feel like if I would have stuck with it, I probably could have like, you know, maybe did like a little band tour or something. Wow. Like you choose. You want a band career? Do you want an acting career?
Oh yeah. You got to choose. You can't have both. I mean, you can, but it's like, you know, you got to start early and you got to go on the road. Yeah, it's a whole deal. Yeah. It's a whole deal.
I've dated, you know, in my young years, I like dated a lot of musicians and I saw that life. That I'm a grandma. I'm like, I'm in bed by 10 o'clock. Like that life, I can barely, if I'm out later, it's like, I'm out until like sunrise. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I couldn't do that like over and over and over.
I know. That's a grind. That whole world is a grind.
Totally is.
Remake of Halloween 2009. Wow. Did you work with Jamie Lee Curtis? Was she in that?
No. So we did the first one in 2007. We did the second one. So these were the remakes with Rob Zombie, who directed.
Oh, cool.
And I played who Jamie Lee Curtis plays.
Oh, my goodness. You were the Jamie Lee Curtis. That is fantastic. Wow.
For those two movies. Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. It was a cool experience. I'm very thankful for the experience. And I don't know if you know who Rob Zombie is.
Sure, I do.
He's one of the greatest guys to work with. And I mean, if you want a hands-on director, he's your guy. Like I'd show up to set at like, you know, usually actors are there before fucking everybody, you know, and I'd be up there like getting my makeup done and he'd be on set like spray painting some stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing here, man? It's like, I'm making sure the set looks good.
He would know, like, right?
He's, I know. You know? I know. So he's really rad. He was cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Talk about a rock guy.
Exactly. I mean, talk about extreme rock and roller.
Oh yeah. His shows, he's the most person I've seen in concert. I've seen him like 10 or 11 times and he puts on a great, great show.
Really?
Even if you don't like his music, go to one of his shows.
I don't know. I go to a lot of shows. I love all kinds of, you know, we just had 98 Degrees on before you and I'm going to go to one of their shows. I don't care. I mean, I was never into boy bands. It's not my thing. I'm like late 60s, early 70s rock, classic rock. You know, that's how I grew up. Sleepovers, That's So Raven, Charmed, The Core, Princess Diaries 2, The Royal Engagement, Sky High.
Yeah.
Wow. So you worked with Anne. Is that Anne Hathaway in Princess Diaries?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah, so I did a lot of the the voice stuff. So I met her once in like the ADR session, but I didn't do any of the live camera stuff. I did a lot of like the voice stuff behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
They had like a lot of kids in there, and I pretty much played almost all of them. It's funny. I was like recording lines for like a lot of the little kid characters. It's like, okay.
All right.
It's so interesting. It really is. Yeah. The world is so nuts.
All right, we got to wrap.
Yeah.
I'm sad. I like talking to you. We could talk. You're going to come back? Can you come back?
I would love
at some point.
Yes.
Like next episode you're in, we'll have you back. We're going to go to a concert. You're going to take me to Rob Zombie.
Yes.
And so I can rock again.
Heck yes.
I'm tired of waiting for Oasis to get back together. I don't think it's going to happen, so I'm never going to rock.
Unfortunately not. You can rock at other places. We got you. Don't wait until then.
Okay. Listen, thanks for your time. This was a lot of fun. Love to have you back and we'll get into your other stuff too and some music stuff and it'll be a lot of fun.
Hey, thank you, Scott.
All right, Scout. Great seeing you again. And
good seeing you too.
All the best. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye. Amy, what's the big announcement?
Okay, everybody. We are doing our first I Am All In Friendsgiving live virtual podcast, and we want you to join. So not only will you see Scott's beautiful face, but we will be on camera. We'll have guests. It's going to be amazing. All your favorite Gilmore stars will be with us. And it's going to be benefiting two amazing charities that are near and dear to Scott's heart.
Oh, yeah.
So, Scott.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
give
yeah.
us the details.
All right. Are you all in? Is everybody all in? I can't hear you. It's an I Am All In Friendsgiving live virtual podcast with me and all of my special guests from Stars Hollow. This is benefiting, by the way, a charity that's near and dear to my heart, St. Jude's Children Research Hospital. And also Baby to Baby. General admission, $15. VIP includes Q&A with me and the guest, $25. You can celebrate with me and my fellow Stars Hollow friends for the ultimate holiday celebration Thursday. Everybody free Thursday? For Thursday, November 11th, 2021, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And I'm going to reveal our first special guest. It's going to be, ready, drum roll. Give me a little drum roll over there. I'll do it. Sound like a cat. I sound like a cat that's purring. It's going to be, and what an appropriate sound effect for this special guest. It's going to be Emily Kuroda. Mrs. Kim is going to join us. We will name other special guests. We will reveal them in time. But please join us. We're going to have a heck of a good time. We're going to raise some money for some good causes. All right. Can't wait. November 11th, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And we'll put the info on our Instagram. We'll put it on all our socials.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. Uh-oh.
There's more.
Can't stand this. Danielle Romo, ladies and gentlemen. She came off the yacht to grace us. How's the yacht?
Oh, yeah, because you weren't here, Danielle. You were coming back from Catalina.
Really wish I was on a yacht, let me tell you.
What do you have for us? You got some exciting news?
We have another exciting announcement. And the exciting announcement is we officially have merch.
No way. I heard the rumor.
Yes.
Yes.
So we have a really cool I'm All In mug and a hat. So you can drink your coffee while listening to this podcast and wearing your hat. And we will do it right alongside you.
How do they get tickets to the virtual event and how do they get the merch?
Okay. So they get tickets to the virtual event. There's two websites. Tickets for the virtual event is loopedlive.com. And if you want to get some merch, it's myfanthreads.com. And we will put it, we'll put both links in our bio on our Instagram. So feel free just to check it out there.
I got to tell you, those hats look so cool. I mean, it really does. They look like the Kennedys would wear them on their sailing boats back in the 60s. Fancy. They're so great. They're just fantastic looking. They're aged, little aged looking. They're just so... So appropriate for the show. And the mugs, that mug, let me tell you something. When you sent me the mug, the mock-up of the mug, I couldn't stop looking at it. I was just like mesmerized by that mug.
Legit.
You're going to send me a mug? Because I want that mug.
Two.
You're going to send me two?
Yeah. Wow. We'll deduct it from your check.
Thank you.
The first proposal was incredibly lame.
Yeah.
When they were fighting after you left.
Yeah. She had a great point. That is not how, that's not how you do it. But that shows how desperate he was.
Yeah.
But it also showed how much he loved her, you know? And
Yeah. I do believe that.
Look, he's going all in, right? You can't fault him for that.
I do believe that. You're right. He does love her. It's a little desperate. It's a little screwy.
Mm-hmm.
But he really likes her. What's not to like? She's so freaking cool.
Yeah. Listen, he's making his play. It's going to fall short from what I know, what I've heard, what I'm hoping for. But yeah, no, I enjoy watching him. He's a terrific actor and he's easy to believe. And I like the two of them together. You know, I had some issues with it. Now I relaxed a little bit. I accepted it. And, it's a necessary tool to use that the writers, go to their toolbox for is to create these types of characters.
Speaking of the toolbox.
I can't say goodbye to my toolbox.
And you can't left happen. The toolbox again.
I did. I left it there.
I know.
Yeah. And that was intentional.
Obvious.
Like you're going to come home with her thinking you're going to get to third base or home, hit a home run, and you're going to see my toolbox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Keep that in mind.
That entire scene is probably one of my favorites of the whole season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, maybe.
You're a harsh critic on yourself. It was, that is a good scene. And I thought it was really telling that the toolbox gets left and that she says, bye bye, Bert, as they're out the door. And it's like, that just had a lot more meaning to me too. Like the Daisy that she gives Luke, the toolbox, that had a lot of meaning. Marking, I don't know if it was marking your territory or what.
You know, what was interesting for me about that scene? It's really about, for me, what Lorelai didn't say in that scene, the way she let that go on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I think in a real world situation, who's going to let that conversation go on that long?
Right.
So she was enjoying that.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want two cuties fighting over them? Please. Like, I would be like, oh, let's go. You know why? Because she likes that Luke likes her. She's so like, there's nothing between us. You know, we're just friends. But she likes him. So she likes that he likes her.
But it's such a Lorelai move, right? To cut somebody off and go, oh, okay, getting a little awkward here. All right, see ya. Here's your toolbox. Bye-bye. But yeah, she didn't do that, did she? She let me go. She let me mark my territory.
She doesn't care that you break into the house. She doesn't care that you're on the deck at 5 a.m.
Right.
Like, she only cares because you woke her up. Like, she doesn't care that you're actually there.
She did. She did go off on me. She was
only because you woke her up, not because you were there.
See?
You know, I felt like in this episode, they really had Luke take a big leap forward. Like, we all know what's happening now. Boom, you're going to be at her house all the time. I fix things around here.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. No, don't screw around, pal. I got a toolbox. It's really big.
I mean, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but like, I'm just going to do it now. My favorite line is, doesn't matter what time it is, I'll be around.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. So, okay. I need everybody to give an answer to this because I know what I think. Of that scene in the hallway, those two, Max and Luke, are going at it. Who won? Who won that little boom, boom, boom?
Lorelai.
See, I think it was you. I thought Luke, Lorelai won.
Yeah, I think he won because he... It put a real seed of doubt in Max's mind as to what the heck is going on here. You know, it's not like he was caught up in a situation where he found himself in this, you know, this tennis match, this verbal sparring match with this guy he doesn't even know. And he's heard about a little bit. And it's like, what is, so I, you know, that helped to, you know, put the seed of doubt in his mind and start questioning her and what are her motives and how does she really feel about me? And, yeah, she, you know, anybody would have stepped in and just said, okay, that's it. Bye-bye. But, you know, she let him go on. And now, you know, that is what is called, it's not only marking your territory, but I'm actually sabotaging, like willfully sabotaging their relationship right in front of their faces.
That's accurate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Max is going to begin to wonder what Rachel already figured out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's going to be packing his bags too, going to the station.
Right. Or Lorelai has
take
to
your
admit,
little thousand, no, 999 daisies, because I'm going to take mine and I'm going to.
Lorelai has to admit to herself, I better figure this out.
Yeah.
And obviously Luke went rushing over there to tell her that that Rachel left.
Right.
He was hoping for a slightly different outcome, which is why you were a little bit fired up for that.
I think so.
Boom, boom, boom. Boxing match.
Yeah. I think he was coming over to, you know, sort of move it into the first act of the rest of his life.
Shoot
his
shot, as the kids say.
And yet again, you know, he's like Mrs. Kim level interruption is Max, right? When he's about to, you know, maybe seal the deal and get another date or get a date or just maybe just, you know, who knows what would have happened in that magical evening. And then Max is there coming for a date.
Yeah. Bad I mean, it's timing. An interesting sort of season one finale cliffhanger, because it's not so much a cliffhanger as we have Lorelai engaged-ish. She hasn't given her answer. Rachel left. Dean and Rory are back together. So we have all these like important things that we're going to start to dig into, I'm sure, but we weren't really left hanging too much.
Now, the thing that has me baffled somewhat, maybe baffled's not the right word, but now here we are back again, you know, getting off the hallway thing with Max and Luke. I think we've rode that horse and put it away wet. But but let's go back to Paris. Now, Paris is back to square one. It's like she was looking for an excuse to hate her again. Yep. And it's all jealousy over Tristan and all that and the PJ right. Harvey tickets.
Well, but it's all Jesus. A bad Three's Company episode because you're like, hey, this is just a misunderstanding and Rory's trying to explain right. it, but right. Paris isn't listening. It's like, Rory's not going to the concert with that dude.
Rory was being so open and honest and genuinely concerned to and trying to preserve their friendship. Mm-hmm. I found that very touching and very revealing of her mm-hmm. character, being so open and honest to somebody who was being so incredibly hostile mm-hmm. and stupid.
And I like the other girls ganging up on Rory. I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed a little incongruous. I don't know. But yeah, I guess for dramatic purposes, here we are. We're yeah. back square one with the Paris Hayton.
Right. We're left with that mess.
But I mean, now it's to the point where she's on, you know, she's the head of the editor of the school paper and she's going to screw Rory up and she's not going to give her the job. She's not going to give her the writing assignment. She's not going to do this. She's not going to do that. It's just like, wow.
It's very teen girl because it's like, it's not Rory's fault that Tristan likes Rory and Rory's not going for it. But mm-hmm. Paris is still pissed. And it's just like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you go from Rory being so sweet and so supportive on, you know, helping Paris prepare for her first date with mm-hmm. Tristan and actually making the first date mm-hmm. happen to going, you know, it doesn't say good things about Paris.
No, she's jealous. She gets really jealous and comes at it fierce.
Paris needs some character building experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't seem to learn from her teachable moments in her life thus far yet, as we yeah. have seen. She reverts back to the mean, which is literally being very mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Took me by surprise and I'm glad for it. Don't get me wrong. As a fan and watcher of the show now, I'm eager to see what transpires with Paris and her little team of ne'er-do-wells. But
yeah, we've got a lot coming.
Yeah. But it's almost at the point where it's like Rory just needs to move on and like, I don't know, not get out of the school, transfer out of the school, but these people are crazy. Right, they're after
right,
her
right,
hide.
Right. Be,
it's like they want to, they're after her. It's like,
yeah, it's like,
really?
Be done with this bleep. Like, stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's like, grow up. Yeah. And like, but it's, I don't know, makes for good TV, I guess.
Riley, it's your big moment. You have 2 minutes and 30
Holy
seconds.
Holy cow. All right. This is Riley, and this is your pop culture. So first we have Lorelai wakes up, and there's banging on the house, and Lorelai says, the freaking Blue Man Group is outside our house. The three men were inspired by a French painter and artist, which is why they chose the color blue. The show uses about 28 trays of blue makeup a week, and it takes the group about an hour to get ready for a 90-minute show. So we have a pop culture reference to Margot Kidder.
Yeah, this one is interesting. Scott, I want your take. Riley, you go.
We did not feel that. Mm-hmm. Rory says, no, my insane mother, Margot Kidder, Gilmore woke me up.
So here's our thought. 20 years later, there's a couple references that land badly. Because, you know, for people that don't know, Margot Kidder was Lois Lane in Superman. And she suffered from mm-hmm. mental illness. And the joke. Ish sort of mocks that. So, you know, we didn't want to act like we didn't hear it. We wanted to talk about it and say there's a few of those where they just don't work 20 years later. And we don't want to perpetuate it or keep it going. It's like that joke wasn't okay.
But I think there's license there because, you know, fans, I guess how, and I do too, and I'm a fan of things. You have a hard time, you know, keeping the public perception and the private reality from skewing each other.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
hard to differentiate. And when somebody, you know, when somebody establishes a character and then they act out in real life that way, mm-hmm. it's hard to really kind of forgive it. It's almost like I remember Anne Heche went off the deep end
right.
at one
aliens
point.
Aliens were talking to her and the whole thing.
Right. And it's like it people get very confused about that kind of thing. And
yeah.
I remember the Margot Kidder stuff. And it's just like she'd been out of the public eye for a long time, right? And she hadn't been, and she'd been working maybe in some obscure stuff, but Superman was always going to be the top mm-hmm. thing she'd ever done. Her crowning achievement in film, and she was terrific. I mean, just terrific mm-hmm. in that role. Terrific actress. You could see the chops. You could see the dedication. And to have something like that happen, it's just very unfortunate. But it's hard when the press, you can't blame her. The press really, wants the clicks and they want the readership and all that. So they're going to take advantage of that and blow it out of
proportion. I think you make a great point. It's like, that's why we didn't want to just not talk about it. We wanted to acknowledge it and see what the fans think, what everybody thinks, like, about some of those that maybe don't work as well, or maybe now.
But how would you like, if you're suffering from an episode, how would you like that plastered all over the headline?
Right.
I mean, it's hard enough dealing with mental illness, right? And then you've got to deal with this. What she went through.
Lorelai asked Luke who the guy was out that owned the body shop in town. And Lorelai says, no, the Dick Tracy guy. So Dick Tracy is a fictional police detective in American comic strip Dick Tracy, created in 1931. Dick Tracy had an iconic look of a long yellow coat and a hat, red and black striped tie, and a black suit. Warren Beatty starred as Dick Tracy in the 1990 film adaptation. Rory says, the old Rory is staging a comeback. Lane says, may it be more successful than Peter Frampton's. Peter Frampton was previously associated with the band's Humble Pie in the Herd. He had a huge hit called Baby I Love Your Way. He tried in the 80s to make a comeback and it was deemed unsuccessful. And he attended high school with David Bowie.
Yes, he did. Peter Frampton's father ran that high school, that special creative high school for highly creative kids in outside of London. That was Peter Frampton's dad, who was the headminister, even the owner of that place. And Bowie went there. Yeah, that's where they were friends.
Lane swears she has never seen Dean with another girl at school. Rory says, you swear on the life of the lead singer of Blur. So Blur is an English rock band formed in London in 1988. Blur is rivals with the other English band Oasis. Member Damon's daughter Missy was named after the rapper Missy Elliott. And bassist Alex James had a second career as a cheesemaker.
Yeah. The British press, which is fantastic. I mean, their tabloid stuff is just so juicy. It's so great. They made those two bands. It was a rivalry to end all rivalries. One was like this blue collar guys from Manchester and Oasis, and then you had the suburban kids with the educated kids with their love songs and all that stuff. And they would outsell each other. The singles would break records, but nobody hit it like Oasis hit it with those two albums in the beginning, or the three albums. Nobody has done that. And it was to both of their advantages that the press really took up that rivalry and made it something that it didn't need to be, but it just was.
We've mentioned previously in the episode talking about PJ Harvey. Tristan offers Rory tickets to see PJ Harvey, and Tristan says, you're a PJ Harvey fan, right? So Polly Jean Harvey is an English singer, songwriter, and musician. She holds a degree in sculpture and had her work exhibited in several galleries in the UK. Her song, The Desperate Kingdom of Love, was used as a title for season 2, episode 1 of One Tree Hill. Luis and Madeline are talking in the hallway after Rory asks for her notes, and Madeline says, okay, so now I've decided that I'm completely into Judy Garland. She was the Courtney Love of her day. So I can tell you facts about Judy Garland, and I can tell you facts about Courtney Love. We're kind of still deciphering what the connection is between the two. We know that they both had substance abuse problems in Hollywood. What else can the connection be? So we all know Judy Garland from The Wizard of Oz. She is also the mother of Lorna Luft and Liza Minnelli. And Courtney Love married Kurt Cobain in 1992 and had a daughter named Frances that same year.
All right.
I still don't totally get the reference, but I'm going to trust somebody.
We're going to have to do some digging.
Yeah.
I want to make that connection.
Lane says, I so encourage this. I love you, but you've been Moby Dopey and about 12 other melancholy dwarves for the past 5 weeks, and I miss the old Rory when talking to Dean again. So Snow White and the Seven Dwarves is a 1937 American animated musical fantasy film. There are actually seven dwarves: Grumpy, Dopey, Doc, Happy, Bashful, Sneezy, and Sleepy. The only one that Lane got actually right was Dopey. Disney created the sound of the floor creaking with Dopey's footsteps by bending an empty leather wallet back and forth. And Snow White is said to be the youngest Disney princess at the age 14.
Makes that kiss just that much creepier, though.
It does. It's a little weird.
It does a little bit. Okay.
Bashful. Lane is going on and on about a story about Janie Furtman at school. Lane says, I couldn't believe it. I almost went full Matrix on her. The Matrix is a 1999 sci-fi film starring Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, and Carrie Ann Moss. Will Smith said no to the role of Neo so that he could make the film Wild Wild West. The lead actors trained every day for 4 months in order to pull off the fight scenes, and Keanu Reeves is said to be the nicest person alive. He chose to give a huge chunk, totaling a reported $75 million of his earnings from The Matrix, to the special effects guys and the people behind the scenes whom he felt deserved it more. And that's it for your pop culture. Did I make it in time?
Good enough.
I don't think so. I think we may. We guaranteed that you weren't going to make it in 2.5 minutes,
yeah.
So we could dock your pay. Because it's in your contract. Even though you're a superstar, you get more money now per episode, but we sabotaged you. We screwed you up with our
fluff. Oh my
gosh.
Good
with
stuff.
With our fluff.
Season one.
Not bad. Season one.
Get your tickets to Friendsgiving.
Listen, guys, you can tell we're a successful podcast because I got the poster in the
Scott's
background.
Scott's got a new poster.
That's a huge...
Check
you
out
don't
the
understand.
Instagram this week, guys.
You don't understand what an investment that is for iHeart to get that thing made and get it over to me. I mean,
$36 we got.
Unbelievable.
You, yeah.
I'm worth
it. There you go.
I'm worth it. I always knew I was worth about 36 bucks. That was my dad that told me.
That was a good episode, by the way. They did not disappoint in that finale at all.
They did not. That was that was what you call a capper.
See you next week.
Well, we'll see you next week, everybody.
Actually, we're dropping a bonus episode this week.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Should I announce that?
No.
We are dropping a bonus
episode. Yeah, people can just...
You just did.
Well, yeah, that'll be enough.
I don't need to announce it when you just lean into your microphone so casually and say we're dropping a bonus episode. What was that?
Everyone heard it.
It's not a setup for me.
Oh, wait. I already did my favorite line, but you guys need to do yours. Sorry.
Oh, what was your favorite line? Go ahead, Riley.
My favorite line was from Claire, and she said, "The Girl Scout scared me."
Danielle Romo, fresh off her yacht, what was your favorite line?
Fresh off my yacht. Just because Amy's favorite line is the same one as mine, I will choose a backup. My backup is from Rory when she says, "Because I love you, you idiot," to Dean. Mm. I love them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mine was, "Doesn't matter what time it is, I'll be around."
Mm.
Boom, Luke, boom.
Boom. My favorite line again, and I don't mean to lean so Michelle, but it's just, the brilliance of that character. I love the line, and it was off screen. It was toward the end of that scene when he was having that fight with Kirk.
Which was epic.
And he kept Kirk kept saying through the scene, "I just do what I'm told." And Yannick would say, Michelle would say, "Say that one more time and I will punch you in the nose."
10 out of 10. That episode was excellent.
I think they all were.
I kind of agree. There's not really a dud in the whole season.
No, there isn't. There really isn't. I mean, they're all just got stronger and stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Was I really on that show? I can't believe it.
I know.
I got so lucky.
You don't believe it, but it is so interesting. And I thought about it with 98 Degrees last week. It's like, wow, to be a part of something so iconic. You can't really put it into words. Scott, congratulations on season one.
Thank you, guys. You were great. What a ball club, huh? We got a ball club here. We got through season one.
Yep.
Wow.
And all our annoyingness, we're here.
We're going to continue to annoy everyone all the time, 24/7, every podcast, every chance we get.
1, 2, sometimes 3 times a week.
I was sitting on my couch in my media room and I picked up a phone and I called the Sugarman and here we are, wrapping season
one. Look at us now.
My God.
See you next week. Wait, what's the first episode of season two? Sadie?
Sadie, Sadie.
Sadie, Sadie.
Sadie, Sadie.
Wow. See you guys. Have a good one. See you next week. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at I Am All In podcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. All you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, S-C-O-T-T-Y-P.com, scottyp.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.